Where'd you go for undergrad? Oh, I heard Cal Poly's a great school. I have a ton of friends that go there.
Yeah.
It's a good area, too. It's a good school. Do you have your PhD, too?
No.
So, you don't really need a PhD, right? Is that just for people who kind of, like, are overachievers, or is that, like, really necessary to get a PhD?
In this field?
Mm-hmm.
No, not really. I don't know. I've known a few, but, I mean, you can actually get a PhD in, like, museum studies or library science.
Cool.
But,
I'm not a big school person.
We just hired a new person, Gina. You've probably seen her a lot now. And she just finished her, she just got a master's in library science at UCLA.
Oh, cool.
And,
for her.
And so the graduating class, there's about maybe 50 people who are graduating with their master's, and like three who are getting their PhDs in library science. And when you get your PhD, they read off your dissertation book.
You just sit there and you pretend that you know like what they're talking about. No, that is not.
So what do you major?
I'm a history major.
Oh, okay.
Yep, typical history major.
Right.
Actually, it's sometimes I laugh at how I'm working here because I'm actually more interested in like European history. So I just let some of my friends sometimes get all confused. But you're working at an American president's museum, and I'm just like, it's called a resume building.
That's true. So who are your favorite profs there? I know there's been a lot of changes since.
One of my favorites is I love Professor O'Donnell. Okay. He's one of my favorites. Dr. Nyrick, she's one of my favorites. Let's see, I've kind of been just taking this same, because I'm a transfer student from Moore Park, so I've only been taking, like, a few of their classes, but those are the two that I really like so far.
Yeah.
But, you know, actually, I haven't really had a complaint about any of my professors there yet, so they're pretty good. CSUN's pretty good.
That's good, yeah. There's been a lot of changes in my dad, and I know the chair before once.
Oh, I'm taking his class this semester.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really nervous because isn't he like the chair
of
the department?
Yeah, he's tough too.
No, I feel like, is he really?
Yeah.
I've heard that he's nice, but I've heard that he's tough. I had to take him for I don't know if you know, but the undergrads have to do the 498 and 497 classes, where one of them, their requirements, one of them is like the huge research paper,
right,
and the other one is, I think, like a giant project or something, and I'm taking him for the paper.
Well, you'll learn a lot.
That is true. The only one that I can't take from is Sefton. I'll be honest. He totally scares me. He's still got that like intense reputation. I just can't do it. And it's sad because he's teaching one of the coolest classes.
Yeah.
He teaches the World War II history. And I was like, oh sweet. And I went to click on it, said James Sefton. I was like, nope. Never mind. Not gonna die.
I actually got really mad at CSUN, and mad enough to vocalize this, because I went there for a reason. I went there because when I went there, their graduate program had a special emphasis in, you could just do regular straight history, but if you wanted to, they also had a special emphasis in archival.
Awesome. Oh, yeah, because they do that with the library, where they have, like, doesn't the library?
That's
the library?
I don't talk about the North Texas there. That's different. This was actually straight through the history department. You got your main history. You did 30 units. You took, like, three or four classes in archival methods and theory, and the rest was just regular history. And the archival classes was taught by the University Archivist. It was a guy named Robert Marshall. And I remember I went to go meet with him before, and I said, yeah, this is what I want to do. And, you know, I wouldn't be sitting in this chair right now if it wasn't for that. And there's about four of us on staff here who went through that program.
Mm-hmm.
So, this guy, Dr. Bill Marshall, he was a little weird.
Oh.
He was a little eccentric.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
Smart.
So this is already like...
He was very smart and he was very good and he taught you a lot. He was just kind how to win. And a lot of the faculty, the rest of the history faculty didn't particularly care. So he retired. And since he retired, they got rid of it. They got rid of that program. And I was like, well, why did you get rid of the program? Well, there was a lot of interest, and you know, students were telling us that you know, they have trouble finding jobs. This is all not at that level. So, you know, and, you know, that they need to go get library science degrees. And I said, well, that's just my life. So, well, that's bullshit. I said, oh, yeah, the program worked for us. And it really, really bugged me because earlier this year, we had a student who was in the MA program at CSUN.
Yeah.
Anthony, who wanted to be an wanted to get some experience, came here to volunteer just to get some, you know, some more experience. And, you know, I thought, well, fine, I said, Anthony, it's great that you're doing these things. I said, but without the coursework, without the education, you gotta have school, and you gotta have experience. You need that combination.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, without the government program in CSUN, I said, your chance to get a job here. Well, you know, and we ended up in E5. He didn't even make the final.
Yeah,
I felt that he was great at this part of that. And, you know, the MA students, they have to do a presentation at the end of the semester. You ever been to the Winston Run?
No, I can't say it. I know what it is, but I've never been. Yeah.
You would.
Mm-hmm.
So they do this big presentation on their final. This great kid here who's done a great job for me, and I'm not going to go up there. Not that this changed anybody's mind, but I'm still a little
confused. I would totally be bitter about that. I'd be like, oh, okay, I'm still bitter. Bye.
Like, no. But I'm still glad.
It's like, it's good or bad. I've had like my you know, the sour notes that they've given me, but it's overall like a good school. It's cheap, it's close. You can't really
for a
student, you can't really get any better than that right now.
I did learn a little hard way you can't smoke on campus anymore.
They are cracking down on that so hard.
Which is a bad habit. You should say,
When
I went there,
you're not even allowed to do it in the parking lot anymore. They literally like see this perimeter that the school, yeah, you're gonna be on like the outside of it, and there's like signs everywhere. They are totally cracking down on it. You know, you might have started that. So I'm not going to tell anybody when I go to school. Yeah, I work at IRA. Screw that guy.
Like, nope. Okay, so you have a formal thing here?
Yeah, it's pretty like formal and informal. So, so you just told me where you went to school. So undergrad, master's. So how did you get interested in like being an archivist? Did you always like want to work in a museum, or did that kind of just like fall into your lap kind of thing?
No, I fell into this. I, after I graduated from Cal Poly, I graduated with a degree in anthropology.
Oh, so you're an anthro major too, like Jen.
anthropology and history for my undergrad. And I did nothing related to those fields at all. I actually went into IT.
Really?
For years. For about 9 years. I became like a systems administrator and all that. And I got very interested in library information systems. So, I was in my 30s back then. I first decided to go to library school. Learn more about library information.
I didn't even know there was such a thing.
Not a lot.
Seems like one of those hidden fields.
There's two in California.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, these days I guess you can do online, but if you you're still old school, you want to actually go to a classroom.
That's me. I'm in an online summer class and I hate it. I'd rather just go and get the class.
Yeah, UCLA is still kind of standard. And San Jose State was the program. I did the San Jose State thing, and I tell you, I went to one class and absolutely hated it.
Wow. Wow. Was it the school or the subject? Because I've heard SJ State is a pretty good school.
Well, it was a distance learning program. So you apply and you're a San Jose State student, but all the classes were in Fullerton, at Cal State Fullerton.
So like on literally the opposite side of the state.
Yeah. Well, it was made for people who live in Southern California.
Oh, okay.
So it was for people in Southern California. So yeah, it was a little weird to walk around the campus at Fullerton and say, I'm a student, but I'm not really a student here. But I had the San Jose State student.
That is funny. that's really awkward.
Just a joke. And I started looking around for other things. I was thinking about doing the program at UCLA. They don't do it anymore, but UCLA used to have a joint program with the library department and the history department. And it was I don't think they did it anymore. I think it was like a 3-year program. Once you finish, you had 2 masters.
Wow.
They made history in the United States. And I was really focused on that. But, like I said, I was already in my 30s, I was a little older, I was already married, I had a mortgage, and car payments, and all this.
Major adulting.
And, by the time I was looking at UCLA is very specific and strict about their admissions and goals. This was probably January, February. When you're in your 30s and you have these responsibilities, time is a factor.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like another year before I could start.
Why were they going to make you wait a whole year?
Well, it wouldn't be quite a year, but this is probably like January.
Oh, I get you.
So it would be actually more than a year, because this is probably about like January, February, second, about doing it, by the time I built out the San Jose State program.
Mm-hmm.
So the application period for the following. Okay. Right, so the application period for had already closed for the following fall.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have had to wait until the fall of, I forget what year it was. Let's say 01 for argument's sake. So I would have to wait until the fall of 01 to apply for the following fall after that. So, you know what I mean? So
yeah, I know.
It would have been like over a year before it happened. I think, if something else comes along, I said, I'll go that route. If something else comes along, we'll do it. And I started working at other schools and other programs, and that's why I stumbled on that. Northridge. I wasn't quite what I wanted to do, but like I told you, this guy, he was weird, but he was very dynamic. But when I went out to talk to him, he did a great sales job. It was Marshall. Just kind of pursue, electronic records and electronic records. And, we need people who have the kind of backgrounds you have in this degree. And he said, and this was probably the line that got me. He said, 88% of my people get jobs. 88% of your people. 88% of my people to go through my program get jobs. The history department won't get to you that because, they'll tell you to go teach. If you go through our program, 88% of my people get jobs. Where do I sign?
He sounds like the wrong guy, man.
Because, and he does do that, so that's what I'd say. And Bill on the UCLA, I think that meant, I want to see something. Yeah, it worked out.
Apparently.
It worked out okay.
Nice. So then, from there, did you just like after you started like working in there, did you just kind of like have this goal where did you like stay in IT for a little bit until you came here? How did you get here?
No, I was working, I used to work at Paramount.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. What'd you do?
I think I was with the Hearst Corporation. I don't know the Hearst Corporation. They all do newspapers.
Yeah, William Randolph Hearst.
Oh, cool. That's it.
Yeah, who owns Hearst Castle up in...
So I was working for the Hearst Corporation.
That is so awesome.
And, I resigned from school full time. My first archival job was at CSUN in the OVM. When I started taking classes, the marshal came home and he said, I have some funding for graduate assistants to help work with some of the collections here. As I tell people, when I went to CSUN, I went on the Visa MasterCard function. Maybe I just put it all on the credit card.
Oh man, I can't tell you how many times families just put it all on the credit card. I'm just like,
some people get fellowships to get scholarships, but then I didn't qualify for anything, so I just put it all.
Oh, scholarships are so freaking hard.
So like I said, I just charged them. And then after my first year of grad school, a student position opened up at the Getty.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And that was competitive. That was pretty competitive. I didn't think I was going to get it. I remember there was like five people up for working in the archives there. You name it?
Put a printer downstairs?
Printer for,
I thought you wanted another printer for the basement.
Yes, no, but
that's
okay. Okay, alright, so
Disney,
spend money.
Okay, actually,
I'll check
your email because she's got to
spend
planning for the rest of the year.
Okay.
Do you need to answer your email or
no. Yeah, it's funny. I remember it was me and like four people from UCLA.
It seems like it would be really, of course. Right. Oh man, I had to like for a little bit. Oh,
of course
it come back to circle. I would just be like, oh my god.
I was lucky enough to get it, and that was a great experience.
Awesome. You know what? I've never actually been to the Getty. Like, oh yeah, I want to work in a museum, but I've never actually been to like one of the biggest in Southern California. Just don't mind me. That sounds so awesome. I need to go there.
Is this just for your own?
It's just for me.
Okay, cool. Like, it's people.
No, I promise I won't go publish all of like your stuff like all over the place. I won't have UCLA see it. Don't worry about it.
So I remember, I graduated from CSUN, and I was really hoping I'd be able to stay on at the Getty, because I loved working there, and there's great people and stuff like that, but there was no funding for a full-time job.
Really?
Yeah.
At the Getty?
Or in that particular area.
Oh, got it.
So when I graduated that position, there was about 4 or 5 months there. There was nothing, and my wife was getting on me, and I was calling my advisor at this Marshall Mystery 88%.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly like that.
Excuse me, what the fuck's going on?
I know, right? Like, I remember when we signed.
Well,
like,
maybe you're one of the 12. Oh, thanks.
Oh, man. Of course. Like, the 12%.
And then, I think he's retired now. He was the chair of the bar when I was there. Dr. Maddox. He sent me a link about Joel.
Oh.
And he said, you know, the other students who went to the same program he went to work there. So he said, hey, you might have a good shot at it. And I was glad because I never checked, like, USA Jobs or things like that. I wasn't checking those things right now. So, and the funny thing is, he doesn't remember. But Mike was the one who hired me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Mike used to be what I am.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What does he do now?
Mike's the deputy director. Oh. Mike was the supervisor. Mike was the archivist. Then he became the supervisor. Then he became the deputy director. He became deputy director, so I became.
So, is he just under Duke and like in NARA?
Here, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's Duke and NARA.
Okay.
It's like Duke, Mike, and like me, right?
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah,
that's crazy.
I thought he was a toddler. And
that's good
times. He's just been getting flooded. Hey, I just think this was one of those telemarketers. And so I said something probably I shouldn't repeat.
Good times.
And I was like, yeah, I don't know. And I played on the phone now like that. That could have been the end of my career right there. Unbeknownst to me. Luckily for me, he called back.
Good times. Good times. Oh, wow. That's a great story.
We got disconnected. This was a fight for the Reagan Library.
You're like, explain, please, please forgive me, I'm so sorry.
So,
oh my gosh, that's a great story. I can't believe, I don't know how anybody could not remember that. No. That is great
stuff. So that was September 2004.
So you've been here since 2004?
I came here, I was here from 04 to 06. And then I went to, I transferred down to Yorba Linda.
Oh, for the next
one? For the next library. And I was there from 06 to, as I call it, as I to 06 to 13. I came back here to 2013.
Were you just helping them, like, with?
Were you just helping them with stuff, or was it an actual, like, transfer job, and then you transfer back? Nice. Is there, like, a huge difference between the Nixon and the Reagan, or they're both pretty much, like, the same, just like both?
We're all part of NARA. They're all part of the presidential system. They have different laws that apply to them.
Oh.
They apply to us here. That wasn't... Because of Nixon's resignation, that library wasn't part of the NARA system at the time.
Oh, okay.
It was actually a private museum library. But they finally agreed with the government for it to become part of the presidential library system, become part of NARA.
Wow.
So I was part of the first group that helped with the transition.
Nice.
From the private to.
Was that like a really big project?
Sorry. Okay. Okay. Wow. Okay. I haven't seen each other yet to the others. Okay. Okay, yeah, I'll keep an eye out. No worries. All right, see you in a bit.
Was that a big project?
Yeah, it was huge. It was a promotion also.
Nice.
When I was here, I was entry level positions here, what we call archives technicians.
Mm-hmm.
You're an archives technician, then you become an archivist, and that's where most people usually stay.
Oh, okay.
Then you can, if you want, then you come somewhere as your archivist. When I first came here in 04, I was a technician. I made the transition down there to be an architect. So it was a promotion. And just to be a part of something new like that.
That's cool.
It was pretty exciting.
Yeah, because Steve said because I talked to Steve in the audiovisual, he was telling me how he started with the Reagan, like that, like in 89, when they were like really building it, and he said it was amazing. He said it was a huge project, but he loved it.
Yeah. You rarely get that opportunity in this field. Or something at the beginning. Like that.
Yeah, I'll probably never be able to do anything like that because everything's all like pretty much done, but it's still really cool to hear about.
For the above line.
Oh boy, I'm from Chicago.
It's cold.
Yeah, I'm a cold other person, but I heard it's cold.
So I was there for about 7 years. And then when
Nice. So what would you say like your job specifically is, and what would like a typical day in IRA be?
Well, I'm supervisor of the whole archives.
So does that mean, do you also like preserve paper artifacts as well as like pull stuff for people and just maintain all of the paper archives?
Paper and audiovisual, yeah.
So you're also in charge of the audiovisual as well?
He gets a balance. I'm very lucky because I have 14 people who work under me. But a lot of these folks, like Steve, have been here for a very, very long time and know this stuff backwards and forwards.
Mm-hmm.
So you have somebody like Steve on your team. That's a very fortunate thing. You don't have to worry about it. I never have to worry about what goes on in that official.
Steve is so cool.
Steve is just, he's the best. I do focus most of my time on textual paper side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Underneath there, there's 65 million pages of documents.
So I've heard. And then I love seeing the paper because Steve just took me in one of the rooms and I saw the paper on the wall and it was just like, we have the documents, only 20% have been actually done. And I'm just like, that is crazy that we have only been able to do 20%. I'm just thinking, this is a huge job, because it's a lot to go through.
This is. And we are, our library is under the guidance of the Presidential Records Act, which is a law.
Okay.
Which requires us to review all these materials before they're open to the public, to look for, obviously, things like national security.
Mm-hmm.
Just make sure we're not doing anything to affect that. Make sure we're not anything that would hamper anybody's personal life. That's probably the biggest thing we look for. Make sure we don't give out Secret Service agent names or FBI agent names or things like that. That sometimes you see these things here. So it's a time-consuming process. These guys don't expect, that's what they're doing most things. They're line by line going through materials before we can serve them to the public.
So is that what this wing of the NARA is? Is that all?
All over here?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's all my phones.
Wow, that's awesome. So what's on that side of NARA, the Victoria's not allowed on that side stuff?
It's just offices.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought there was a whole bunch of cool secret stuff over there. I've been downstairs, not like downstairs, but right. I've been like downstairs.
Are you an official? What are you official?
Like, what's my actual position?
Yeah.
I'm a VSA.
What's that?
I work in visitor services in the lobby.
Okay. So you work for the foundation?
Yep, I'm both foundation and NARA.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you are you're an official NARA
intern?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I got the email and everything.
Good luck. Well, here's the official information.
Awesome.
The worst thing about paper is can be very acidic.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And, the cheaper the paper, the more acidic. You ever seen the newspaper after a couple of days?
Doesn't it kind of like...
That's cool. So basically, like an archivist, that's really neat, actually. I learned a lot about that. What would you say the challenges and the benefits of your job are?
The challenges?
Mm-hmm. Challenges and benefits.
I don't have enough people, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough money.
Sounds about right.
And if I had to rank those three, I don't have enough. I mean, 14 sounds like a lot. If it doesn't work, but I could easily, if you gave me 30 people, that still would be enough.
Wow.
I mean, you just offer yourself.
Yeah.
What it looks like now.
Yeah.
You get 100 people.
It would not be enough. No.
Wow, that's a huge job for just like a small group of people. I bet you guys are like constantly busy from like the time you guys get here till the time that you leave. I'm sure it's just constant work.
Right. And we have goals, we have deadlines, and you know, again, we gotta go respond to public by a certain time, we gotta respond to the mothership in DC on a regular basis. They wanna see X amount of percentage of stuff completed in a year, you know.
It's a lot.
It's a full time job. I
think it's going to take a couple lifetimes. I'm sure.
I mean, there's some of the older ones.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Hoover and the Roosevelt. I mean, they're pretty much. But you also got to remember something too. As time moves on, the volume.
Mm-hmm. That's what Steve was describing to me, because he was saying how like we have like the biggest archives compared to like he was like saying like Truman. Like Truman's is like a broom closet compared to like ours.
Right.
And like when Obama opens his is gonna probably be massive.
Well, yeah, because they've got electronic records. That's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
We were like the last administration.
was that probably really helpful, right? Or not so much?
It's just a whole new avenue to deal with. Right. Yeah, we don't have any electronic records. But starting well, certainly the Clinton administration, they were pretty much up on that. And the Bush appointment so much. But like the W. Bush administration and the Obama administration now, the electronic records. The vast amount of their collection these days.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I don't even know how to deal.
No.
Scary.
So, would you say like is like probably like your advice to someone like that? Like,
if I was to say, oh, you know what? Out of all of my interviews, I think I choose you. I want to be an archivist.
Right.
What would you tell me?
What would I tell you?
Mm-hmm. That was your advice.
I would be the supervisor to remember what you chose in this museum library. You're actually doing it.
Oh, good.
Which is good. Well, of course, I've seen too many people your age not do these kinds. I've seen too many people your age not trying to be an old man, not doing things. I've seen too many people your age go to school and worry about the job later.
No, I'm totally all about the present. No, I completely agree with you. I have friends that are exactly like
and
that.
Like, oh, I'm like, with it, you know, whatever. And then no, I have a nephew who just graduated from Cal State Long Beach.
Nice.
And, Recreation Administration.
Recreation Administration. Is that like to do with like the... oh, I totally blanked.
He wants to work. He wants to go to the park.
That's it. Yeah, the park service and stuff like that. Oh, okay. Not bad.
I kept talking to him. His last chance is when he started looking for jobs again.
Oh, just like,
And so now that he graduated, and so he goes, found a job at reply. Gina, I've known Gina for about 6 years.
Wow.
Gina went to Cal Poly for her undergrad. Cal Poly wanted that piece. So when Gina was at Cal Poly her first year, she came, because Cal Poly's not that far from that, I think so. She came down to volunteer at the next library, like her first year as an undergrad.
Oh, so you knew her from the Nixon?
Yeah.
Cool.
And it was just kind of coincidental. She graduated from Cal Poly, started at UCLA, I was saying, Cal Poly, but Masters, you know, can I do it here? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, so Gina's kind of been working for free most of the, like, for 5 years. She's been either volunteering and interning and something there. You know, she put the time in.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she got the job opened up. She got it. So,
if you don't get paid. Yeah. I had to keep my day job. I was just like, see you suckers. And then they're like, and then Mary's like, oh, this is unpaid. I was like, never mind, Megan. Fine. Come back. She's like, that's what I thought. I was like,
a curator, an archivist, a librarian, the tourist symbiotic in that education experience. One or the other's not going to do it.
What would you say you really need for like, your position? Like, is it a lot of patience? Is it a lot of multitasking? Is it a lot of just being able to handle a lot of things at once?
Well, first of all, you got a lot of pressure.
Oh, okay, so next.
You're not going to get rich doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my wife's an accountant. God bless her, I love her.
I could. She's already, like, amazing to me already. I am not numbers. Like,
so, You have to be very detailed, oriented, methodical, and there's something you know what. And if you want to do some stuff for us while you're here, let me know.
Really?
Absolutely. Give you a better idea of what we did because it's such a some projects. There's something about when you start working with these original primary sources, there's something that's just, it kind of draws you in.
Oh, yeah.
Just the coolness of it, you know?
I interviewed Jenny yesterday, and Jen. Sorry, I know that there's the two of them. Jen yesterday for the registrar, and I was like, I was really sad because I, like, you can see, you know, like in her office, you can see the glass window into the warehouse where they have, like, all the stuff. I was just like, oh. Like, if I could even just, like, go in there, like, just looking at it just made me excited to interview her. I was like, you have a cool job.
Yeah,
Nina, she just said I had a moment with the boss. I was just like, oh, my gosh, that's so cool.
So, yeah, you gotta have that love for you. You gotta have that love for,
Do you have a particular part in history that you really like?
It's funny, you know, I was like you, too. I didn't study, because when I was at CSUN, I did the archival program, but you still had to pick up an emphasis in history. And it wasn't like 20th century, you know, so it was not even close. Like, so, yeah, my emphasis was on the 19th century American ones.
Nice.
I did all my exams. I did all my programs. I had to get caught up on writing.
Oh, yeah, I feel sometimes it's such a disadvantage because I don't really know. I didn't live during his presidency or any of his term. And it's like, I'm also, again, like, not his, you know, like, I'm not a big American historian, so, like, when I first got interviewed, Joanne's like, so, what do you know about President Reagan in our library? And I was just like, nothing. Like, I had to be totally honest. I was like, I've been through it twice. Like, I can tell you my favorite exhibit, but I can't tell you anything, because I, like, yeah.
It's true. When my interview at the time, I had never been there.
Nope.
First time, my interview was the first time I'd ever been there.
Yep, so you just kind of got to fake
until you make it.
Yeah.
Like, until you get the job.
Exactly. But that's your, you know, as an undergrad, getting experience, being proactive. I mean, I definitely think what
I'm not a super, like, I'm more of, like, a worker than a school person. I don't mind school. I love to learn. I love school. But I'm totally one of those people that I'm more hands-on. I want to get in there.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, that's why I will not go for my PhD. Unless it's, like, absolutely necessary. It's,
no,
like,
no, 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 okay.
I'm going to, like, struggle through my master's, and then I'm going to be, like.
Most people I mean, I know Jenny has a PhD, but she's, most folks I know. So the problem is, you know, it's competitive.
Yeah.
Getting jobs isn't easy. And so people who are overqualified will apply.
Mm-hmm.
The architect, the entry level position, on paper, you don't need a graduate degree to qualify for it. But if you don't have one, you're probably not going to get it because everybody, the bulk of the people who apply for it have one.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Actually, somebody who just finished their PhD.
Yeah, when I was interviewing Rob yesterday, both of his, like, the assistant girls that work with him, Meredith and I forgot the other girl's name, Lauren, yeah. She was like, well, I only have my high school diploma, but
they have their master's,
yeah.
And I was like,
it's changed. It's changed.
It's totally
there
changed.
There was a time you could do that.
I know.
There was a time in 10, 20 years you could do that.
It's totally a different time.
Mike was W director, only has a bachelor's. He started a bar at the lowest level, the archives, and didn't work this way. Not that that's impossible to do these days, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially in our field, because you at least, I've always been told now, oh, so like, because I keep telling people, oh, I'm done with school, and they're like, okay, so
when are you going to go get your master's? Like, all of my, like, college friends that know that, like, my field, they're
yeah.
like, so when are you going to go get your master's? And it's just like, eventually, I'm gonna do it. I mean, I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, I'm gonna take a bunch of time off. I'm just gonna do it to get it done, because you know you don't want to put that off. Because I've heard that once you get out of school, it's really difficult to go back.
It is. Yeah, it was 9 years in between.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Yeah, because again, like Jenny, you have Jenny. I don't know.
She's 23?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm 23. I think I'm just a bit behind because I did the 2 years at Moorpark. I didn't go straight into university.
But, yeah, if you want to stick with it, I would definitely recommend pursuing an advanced degree and experience.
The experience, I can
go with the master's.
That one's gonna be tough. I gotta do it. Gotta do it. Well, I won't take up too much of your time, because I know you're uber busy, but I can't tell you how much, like, it meant that you took time out of your day to let me interview you.